الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد اوفيه دوت الله ان مي الله send his peace and his blessings upon the prophet Muhammad, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily this dunya is green and sweet, and Allah has placed you as deputies on this earth, so He sees how you act. So have taqwa of the dunya and have taqwa of women. Verily the first fitna, the first trial of the children of Israel, the Jews, they went astray with women. What is intended by have taqwa of the dunya and have taqwa of women, meaning put a shield between yourself and that which will destroy you, whether it is the dunya, becoming overwhelmed with it, chasing after it, or the woman. This is what is intended by taqwa here, a protection from the destruction that may result because of a person being over-obsessed with the dunya or over-obsessed with women. This is the hadith that the Shaykh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, initiated this particular khutbah with. Then he quoted the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu wa an abih, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed him by his shoulder. And we discussed this hadith before. He told him, be in this dunya as if you are a stranger or a traveler. And it was mentioned, as the scholars explained this particular hadith, when you are a stranger, you don't belong. You don't feel like you fit because you are strange. Likewise, the Muslim should be in this dunya like a stranger. In this life that we're living, we feel we should live like strangers because home is Jannah. Home is Jannah. Now we are traveling. We are strange in a strange land. And if you are a stranger, you never feel like you fully belong. There's always something missing. Likewise, you should be with this dunya, not to become over-obsessed with it. Or a traveler. A traveler does not overburden himself when he's going on a trip. A traveler does not do anything that will make his travel more difficult. Rather, we take the easiest path, the easiest means of transportation, the most affordable. And this is how we get to our destinations. Likewise, we should be in this particular dunya. So the Shaykh was mentioning, and Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, as a result of this advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you make it to the morning, do not expect to live till the evening. And if you make it to the evening, do not expect to live till the morning. And take from your health now for the time of sickness. And take from your life for your death. Meaning take advantage of what you have now before you're unable to do it. Nowadays, you want to come to the masjid. You get up, you make your wudu, you walk, you come over here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that you become of old age, or you fall, you break a bone, if you have diabetes, sometimes it never heals, and you will not be able to come to the masjid and in the same fashion you can today. You may become too old to make it to the masjid, too sick to come to the masjid. So now that we have these, we should take advantage of them, because the day may come where we'll be unable to do that. And then it will be too late to regret. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once entered the marketplace with some of his companions, and there was a dead goat on the ground, which was small in size. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed him by his ear and he told his companions, which one of you would like to buy this dead goat for a dirham? Let's say 1 riyal. So all of them said, O Messenger of Allah, none of us would love to buy this. We wouldn't even take it for free. We would not even take this dead goat for free. What are we going to do with a dead goat?
What is the benefit that we will get from a dead goat? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them in return, Wallahi, that this dunya is more insignificant to Allah than this goat is to you. This dunya and everything upon it is less important and less significant in the sight of Allah than this dead goat is to you. You don't care about this goat, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care about this dunya. Yet He created us and He placed us in this dunya. Why? الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life to test you who is better indeed. So it is a place of examination. It's trial. It's a test. It is not the final destination of the son of Adam. In another hadith, which was narrated by Tirmidhi, and he declared to be sahih, from Hadith Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had this dunya weighed in the sight of Allah the wing of a mosquito, he would not have given the disbeliever a sip of water. If this dunya and everything in it was as important as a wing of a mosquito, you know the mosquito, the ba'uba. If the wing of that mosquito, if this whole dunya was equal to this wing, Allah would have not given a disbeliever a sip of water. And the reason why, because a disbeliever is someone who does not deserve the mercy of Allah. Someone who rejects Allah, someone who worships other than Allah, someone who prostrates to other than Allah, someone who calls the people to worship other than Allah, someone who takes the favors from Allah and then devotes them to someone else. A disbeliever is a kafir, is a disbeliever. If Allah was to treat him accordingly, He would not give him even a sip of water. Because he doesn't have shukr, he doesn't have gratefulness. But because this whole dunya and what's in it is not equal to Allah, the wing of a mosquito, He gives the kafir more than a sip of water. He gives them land and homes and cars and life, a big, long, lavish life. Because it is not significant to Allah. In the hereafter, the disbeliever will get nothing. So this is an indication that if Allah gave you money, it doesn't mean that Allah loves you. If you have a lot of money and you have a comfortable lifestyle and you have your own business, it doesn't mean that Allah loves you. Because the scholars say Allah gives the dunya to those whom He loves and those whom He does not love. But He only gives iman to those whom He loves. So if Allah gave you Islam, alhamdulillah, this is an indication that Allah loves you. So what are we doing in return? We take and we don't give back. We take and we don't show thankfulness. We take for granted. We turn our acts of worship into habits. Where salah is a habit, fasting is a habit, even saying salamu alaykum is a habit. Salamu alaykum is dua. Dua, may the peace of Allah and His blessings and His mercy be upon you. This is a big dua you've given to you, brother, but to us it's just a habit. Salamu alaykum, alaykum salam. Salah, likewise. Siyam, likewise. Zakah, likewise. Remembrance of Allah, this numbers. This numbers. You see this? You've seen this before? Try to do exercise for the fingers? Muscle exercise for the fingers. How fast can you say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times? How fast can you do it? Only here. That's not the way the Prophet ﷺ would remember Allah. That is not what is intended by the remembrance of Allah. It is something that the heart needs to be in agreement with the tongue. It is something that has a meaning. But to us they have become habits. Because of our misunderstanding of the purpose of life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our condition. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, verily this whole dunya is equal to one of you dipping his finger in the ocean and then taking it out. How much water would be left? 2 drops? 3 drops if you have a big finger? If you have a small finger, 1 drop. You put it in once, you take it out, only 1 drop of water will go down. This is the dunya, the whole dunya. Everything that you see all over the world is equal to this 1 drop from the ocean. So the Prophet ﷺ was trying to teach us not to become attached to a very small, insignificant thing that will not last forever on the expense of the everlasting life in the hereafter, which is Jannah. or Jahannam, al-iyadu billah. So the brother said something interesting. He said, have you ever seen someone grabbing some money, kissing it, wiping his face with it, acting in this fashion? He said, if you've seen someone doing this, what would you do? You will think this person is crazy. I mean, we love money, human beings. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And the son of Adam, the love of money is extreme. But of course there's limitations. Anyways, but if you've seen someone going to the extent of kissing it and wiping his face with it and doing sujood for it, you will think that this person is not normal. He said, although you do not see this in this graphical sense, you don't see the image of someone doing it, but the lifestyle of many of our brothers and sisters in Islam is of this kind. Their lifestyle is a manifestation of this reality. Although he may not make sujood to the money in a literal sense, but his lifestyle may be a manifestation of the sujood to the money, where the person becomes a worshipper of the money rather than a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And regarding this, Bukhari narrated on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham wa al-qatifa wa al-khamisa. Ta'isa is basically wretched. This could be a supplication, or this could be an information about the condition of this individual. Yani either the Prophet ﷺ say maybe he wretched, then we will describe the quality, or he is wretched. Who? The worshipper of the dirham and the dinar, different currencies of money. The worshipper of the, you know, the riyal and the halala and the dollar, whatever. May he be wretched, or he is wretched. If he is given, he is happy. If he has some, he is happy. If he is deprived, he becomes angry. He becomes angry and displeased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is miserable. Ta'asa, it's misery. He is miserable. Why? Because his whole life is conditional to wealth. If available, he's happy. If it's not available, he's not happy. Whereas the scholars of the righteous predecessors, when they took him to prison for a fatwa that he gave, not because he committed a crime, for a fatwa that he gave, he said, what will my enemies do to me? My Jannah is in my chest. My happiness is in my chest. His Iman in Allah, his understanding of the deen, his following of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his dedication and sincerity worship in Allah is his Jannah. Even if they put him in a prison cell, in seclusion, with no food, no drink, he was content and happy. Nowadays, the people of wealth are living in big castles. They have big cars, big wealth, and they commit suicide. And they're always miserable, they're always unhappy, they're always sad. Why? Because Iman is what generates happiness, and not the dunya. And if we don't understand this properly, we will never be happy. Because the dunya will never keep you happy. You have a few good days, the next day your relative dies. Your son is in good health, mashallah, a few weeks later he's sick. May Allah protect all of our children. You're in good health, a few years from then, it's gone. One day you have money, one day you don't. If you're going to keep happiness conditional to availability of wealth and otherwise, we will never be happy. So we should search for happiness where it truly belongs. And that is in knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing who our Lord is. It is not sufficient just to say I'm a Muslim and you know I have a few chapters of the Quran memorized and what have you. We must know who Allah is. And the whole Quran is about Allah. His names, His attributes, His qualities. We need to worship Allah according to them. We know that Allah is merciful, so we try to do the things that will bring about Allah's mercy. But we know that Allah is severe in punishment, so we try to avoid things that bring about His punishment. Don't think Allah will not punish the people. The whole people of Nuh, the whole earth was drowned. Why? Allah is Rahim, Ghafoor, and He drowned all of them, except a few. Why? Because if the people do not do the things that will bring about Allah's love and mercy, they will get the other side. And this is applicable to the Muslims. And the natural disasters that are taking place in the Muslim countries are an example of that. People have started to worship the graves. Muslims are worshiping the graves. As if they did not hear the Prophet ﷺ cursing the Jews and the Christians because they took the graves of the righteous people as places of salah, as a musalla, as a masjid. Muslims prostrating to a dead person, calling upon him, telling him, my son is ill, give him health, give him cure. A dead person in the grave. And we leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of everything, the one who hears us and sees us and knows our affairs, and we go after a person who's dead. Wallahu a'lam, he may be punished in this grave. He may be a wicked person. Who could give him a tazkiyah? Who could give him purification and speak on behalf of Allah that Allah loves him, Allah is pleased with him, and he's among the people of Jannah? No one. No one sees beyond what is in front of us, the surface. But we find Muslims being attached to objects and things other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of that, look at our condition today. Every nation in the world, the most wicked of people, those who their ancestors were pigs and monkeys, are today trying to humiliate the Muslims and disgrace them. Because of our turning away from the deen of Allah. And our condition will not change. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is within themselves. Until we go back to the deen of Allah, brothers and sisters, we will not go back. Allah will not give us our honor and dignity back. And that means that you become upon the deen, your wife becomes upon the deen, your children will be upon the deen. Your family members are upon the deen, the society is upon the deen. Everybody should be practicing Islam. In the ultimate sense, not wishy-washy, one day we do it, the next day we leave it alone, Ramadan comes, we worship Allah, Ramadan leaves, we forget about Allah. This is not going to change our condition. And this is just an addition to what the Shaykh is saying, and pretty much I'm deducing it from his actual speech. One time the Prophet ﷺ was lying down on a straw mat, hasir, you know, the one that leaves on you after you get up from lying down when you're sitting on it. It leaves marks on your skin, you see it. When he got up, his companions felt pity for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, you know, the kings of the Romans and the Persians during that time were living on, you know, a lavish life and beds of silk and gold. And this is the most beloved of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet is lying down on this kind of straw mat. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, why don't you get something more comfortable? You know, something that it befits you. He alayhi wa sallam said, what do I want from this dunya? What do I want from this dunya? Very my example with this dunya is like someone who was riding on his camel or horse or whatever. Then he went under a tree to get some shade, then he took off. He was riding, he pulled over for a few minutes to rest under the shade, and then he took off. This is the duration of life. Long journey, a small part of it is resting, which will be our test, and then you move on to your final destination. And the Prophet ﷺ used to go for days without having any food or drink. As Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, narrated that we, the family of Muhammad ﷺ, would go for months without any fire being lit in his house, meaning no food was being cooked. And the Prophet ﷺ used to live off dates and water, for most of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even after the Muslims expanded and they were able and they were wealthy, walillahi alhamd. Once Abu Hurairah narrated that the Prophet ﷺ went out on a night and he ran into Abu Bakr and Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. Upon seeing them, the Prophet ﷺ said, what made you go outside of your house, outside of your homes at this time? They said, O Messenger of Allah, nothing brought us out of our homes except hunger. Except hunger. He said, wallahi, nothing brought me out of my house except that which brought you out of your houses, which is hunger. So then they said, he said, come with me. They went until they ran into a companion from among the Ansar. May Allah be pleased with them. So when he seen him, he said, all praise is due to Allah. No one has more honorable guests than me today. And then he took him to his house. May Allah be pleased with them. And he gave them some dates, some fresh dates and some water and some milk to drink. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not slaughter anything. And he tried to make it, make it simple and easy on the brother. The brother, may Allah be pleased with him, went and he slaughtered a goat. And then he brought it. Then the Prophet ﷺ ate until he was full, and he drank until he was full, along with Abu Bakr and Umar. Then when they were done, the Prophet ﷺ turned to Abu Bakr and Umar and told them, by Allah, by the one whom the soul of Muhammad is in his hand, speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal, you will be asked on the day of judgment about this bounty. You will be asked on the day of judgment about this bounty. You came out of your homes with hunger, and you did not go back until you have attained what you have attained right now. So then the Shaykh said, then what do we say? What would the Prophet ﷺ say if he came and seen us today? There isn't any kind of luxurious food except that we eat. The best of drinks we eat. Homes lavish, living a comfortable life. If he told them about, they were hungry, they left the house go searching for food, and someone offered them food. And he said, you'll be asked about this na'im on the day of judgment. And what is going to happen to us? Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. Allah says in the Quran, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Know that the life of this world is nothing but play and fun and adornment and showing off and boasting between each other in terms of wealth and children. It is like the rain that comes from the sky, then it mixes with the ground and the vegetation comes out. Then you see it destroyed and broken into pieces. And in the hereafter, there will be severe punishment from Allah and forgiveness and pleasure. And verily, the life of this dunya is nothing but false deception. This dunya of ours is nothing but boasting. My children is this, my child is a hafiz and he's a doctor and he's an engineer. And the other one says, well, I have 3 homes and 2 cars and I have such and such. Everybody's boasting back and forth. But this is nothing. It's equal to like the rain that falls from the sky. It mixes with the earth. So you say, mashallah, look at this beautiful plant. And the very next day it becomes old and dry and it breaks into pieces. Then the wind comes and it scatters it and it goes away. And that's the example of the dunya. You think that you've got it all going on, and all of a sudden, either you die or the wealth goes away. And you remain with nothing. And in the hereafter is one of 2 things. Either a severe punishment from Allah, those who rejected the advice from Allah, those who lived life chasing after their desires, this is for the wrongdoers. And maghfira wa ridwan, and forgiveness and pleasure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers who had taqwa of Him Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomever makes the dunya his main concern, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will divide and make difficult for him to attain it. And he will make his poverty between his eyes, and nothing will come to him from the dunya except that which was written for him. And you wake up in the morning, and the only thing you're thinking about is dunya. How am I going to make money? How am I going to do this? You're just worried about the dunya. You're not concerned about how am I going to please Allah today? How am I going to establish the salah in the masjid on time? How am I going to read the Quran? You don't think of that. Rather, you're only thinking in the materialistic sense. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whomever is of this kind, then Allah will make poverty between his eyes. Yeah, and it's so close to you, you cannot avoid it. And you will not get anything from the dunya except that which was written. So all of your striving will go wasted. But as for the one who made the akhirah his intent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will arrange his affair accordingly. And he will make his wealth and his richness in his heart. In his heart. And the dunya will come to him even if she dislikes it. And the dunya will come to you even if you don't really need it. Then the Shaykh finalized his khutbah by quoting verse from the Quran dealing with Qarun. Allah Jalla wa'ala says interpretation of the meaning in English, verily Qarun was among the people of Musa and he transgressed against them. And we had given him from wealth that which even the keys cannot be carried by the most strong of men, as the tafsir mentioned. They say that the strongest of men could not even hold the keys for his treasure. Not his treasure, the keys. You cannot even imagine what the treasure was really like. And his people told him, do not be happy. Verily Allah does not love those who are happy. Of course, the scholars explain this, it does not mean that you cannot smile, that you cannot be happy, because happiness is of 2 kinds. There's the happiness that you get because of the bounty that Allah gives you, because of the good deeds that Allah blesses you with. The happiness of Iman, and there's the happiness of the dunya, where you are ignorant of the affairs of Islam, and you are more concerned and happy about the wealth that you are making. This is the one that is prohibited. So his people told him, do not be among those who are happy, content, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love them. and seek with that which Allah has given you from wealth, ad-dar al-akhirah, the hereafter. And do not forget your portion of the dunya. It doesn't mean that you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't enjoy life, but within the limitations. And be good as Allah has been good to you. Allah gave you money, give money to those who are less fortunate than you are. And do not seek corruption upon earth. Verily Allah does not love those who are correct. Then he told them because of his arrogance, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I've been given this because of knowledge that I have. So he denied the bounty of Allah. Allah didn't give me this. I'm a businessman, man. I know how to do business. I worked hard. I earned this money. Don't mention, it has nothing to do with Allah. This was the answer of Qarun. Now look what happened to him in return. Then Allah says, did he not see that Allah has destroyed the nations who came before him, who were more strong than him and had more wealth, and they will not be questioned about their sins, the criminals. Then he went out one of these days upon his people, and he was adorned in the best clothes and had all of his caravan and all of his wealth, trying to show off among the people. So those who wanted the life of the dunya among the people, those who loved the life of the dunya, they said, we wish if we only had as Qarun has. Only if we had as Qarun has. Verily he is very fortunate. And those who were given knowledge said, verily, woe to you. The reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better for the person who believes and does righteous deeds. And none will attain that level except those who are patient. Then Allah told us the bottom line of him, فَقَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth open up and swallow him along with his home. Allah made the earth swallow him. He was arrogant on the surface of the earth. Allah humiliated him under the earth. And this is, why does this Allah mention this in the Quran? Is it just storytelling? No. This is a reminder for us, the Muslims, to understand that if we follow these footsteps, we will get an equivalent reward. So one of us should be open-minded about these things and avoid this particular path. And then Allah says, so we made the earth swallow him, and he had no one to assist him or aid him besides Allah, and he was not among those who are victorious. And then the next day, those who had wished for his position the day before, they said, woe, verily Allah bestows his favors upon whomever he wills, and he withholds also. And had it not been for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have also made the earth to swallow us. Verily, the disbelievers are never successful. So this was in more or less the khutbah of the Shaykh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. And whatever was correct was success given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever was wrong was for me and the shaitan. And Allah is innocent from it. هذا والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحانه.